Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. We're getting you ready for high school football tonight, but there's a huge series that begins for the Cleveland Indians this evening as they take on the Boston Red Sox. It's the final home series of the season for the Tribe. They'll get going at 7:10 tonight. We will have Cleveland Indians baseball, though, the next couple of nights here. They're at it again 7:10 on Saturday. And then, of course, they're in the spotlight playing the national game on Sunday night at 7:10 as well. And here to talk Indians baseball with us, as he is every week, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. And Rosie's appearances are brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center, right off of Walker Road. Rosie, have you caught up on your sleep from last night's extra inning game?
Yeah, that was a long one. You catch up a little bit on the other side, and it was kind of funny because going into the night, you figured, all right, normal 3-hour game, get home and catch the second half of the Browns, maybe, and that kind of thing, and be able to enjoy that, and we ended up kind of having one eye on our game and one eye on the finale of the Browns game, and everybody let out at once, and man, downtown was alive and kicking about 11:30 last night. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to see those videos and see those pictures as well. Very, very interesting stuff. Well, speaking of interesting stuff, tonight we get the long-awaited return of Trevor Bauer coming off the DL, and he is expected to start. And as far as I understand it, Rosie, only supposed to pitch a couple of innings tonight. What are the expectations there? What kind of an innings or pitch limit are we looking at for Trevor Bauer?
I'm going to go 2 innings, 40 pitches. How about that? And I think that's probably where they're at. They don't want him to overdo it. And the reason being, he threw more than that in his simulated game on Tuesday. But I think the things that they're looking for, obviously facing hitters, seeing what his stuff looks like. But then I'm sure they're hoping, they may be hoping, that maybe the Red Sox put a bunt down where he has to field that and field his position and do the other things that might test that leg a little bit, just to make sure that he can handle all that. When you do the simulated games, it's strictly just that pitching motion, which he seems to have found a good place, as again, that leg is still healing, but to a good point at this point. But now it's the other stuff. So I don't think they want to overextend that the first time out. So I think you'll see 2 innings, about 40 pitches, somewhere in that range.
Along those same lines, Rosie, what kinds of things should we be looking for from him as far as velocity, movement on his pitches, or maybe some of the things that you had mentioned, things that you have to do when you're not pitching, whether it's backing up a base or on a ground ball on the right side of the infield, seeing how he responds, racing over to first base? What kinds of things should we be looking for from Bauer in those couple of innings tonight?
Well, I think velocity-wise, that was down during his sim games, but it increased from one to the next. So it'll be interesting, because when he was really rolling, in the midst of the season there, his fastball was 95, 96, pretty consistent. So keep an eye on that, and then see where that is with the hard stuff, and then command. How is he doing? He's got that great curve, and the slider was really coming along that he worked on in spring training. Can he throw those for strikes, and is he getting swing and miss? My guess is he won't tonight. I think he's going to struggle with that tonight, and that's okay. That's why he's getting out there, and they're hoping that it's 3 times. The other stuff that I'm sure they're hoping for, the fielding, the position, all that. But, the nitty-gritty, let's see where the velocity is and the command is, and is he getting the swing and miss, because that's important to him. And, he's going to struggle in those areas, I would think. But that's all right, and then see what happens the next time out. But keep an eye on those tonight.
Rosie, do you get the impression that maybe there's a little more as far as expectations, or maybe not expectations, but intrigue in tonight's game, simply because of all the things we've mentioned about Trevor Bauer, but also the guy he's going up against tonight in Chris Sale, a guy that has also been bitten by that injury bug this year? I think this game certainly seems pretty fascinating on paper, just because you have two guys going in where you're not quite sure what to expect.
It's going to be one of those interesting games where I don't think either team's going to be really that concerned with what the final score is. They're going to be worried about those first 2-3 innings. innings. And it'll be interesting to see how far Sale goes, because in his first two starts back, they've really limited him, and they're building him up slowly. So they'll be probably looking for some of the same things that the Indians are looking for from Bauer from the stuff standpoint. And his injury was completely different. It was, you know, just some soreness in the shoulder. And there's still some schools of thought that say maybe there really wasn't an injury there. They were just trying to limit his innings and make sure that he's fresh and ready to go for the postseason. But he was on the DL, and they are taking him slow here. So, yeah, they have some of the same concerns. But I think it's going to be one of those games with nothing on the line. Both teams have clinched, where it's really going to be the first three innings, and maybe a little bit more for Sale, to see how both key starting pitchers are doing here as they prepare for the postseason and where they stand.
Again, we're talking Tri with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Rosie's appearances here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, brought to you by Erie Burger Company. Rosie, you had talked to Jason Kipnis the day after he hit that walk-off grand slam and the Indians win over the White Sox in the second game of that series. And his numbers have certainly gone up over the last month and change. Rosie, what were your major takeaways with your sit-down with Kip after that enormous home run?
Just that it was a great moment for him. Just one of those once-in-a-lifetime moments, and then you dovetail the 1,000th hit of his career into that and what that meant from a historical perspective. And he's really good. Like, I know sometimes, you know, Corey Kluber will go out and strike out, you know, 20, or, you know, he'll have a great outing and maybe pass someone on the all-time strikeout list or innings list. You know, he's getting that point in his career, and he doesn't really expand too much on what it means to him, and I get that, because most of the time he just says, you know, it's probably something when I'm finished playing that I'll look back on and really be able to reflect on fondly. And with that said, he does say it is kind of neat to be mentioned in the same breath as Bob Feller, because that's one of the greats of all time, so he does take some pride in that. And I think Kip cut to the chase on it by saying, you know, he feels that when you get 1,000 hits with that same team that you were brought up with, you're part of an era of a franchise's baseball team. And it's been a good era for this group of him and Brantley and Gomes and Kluber and all the rest that have really come up together and now won together for a while. And he's proud of that. He's really proud of that. And I think he's also proud that he didn't let this season get away. It was going bad until late August, and he found something that weekend in Kansas City when he hit his 100th home run. And he's been able to continue that since, and he's done that even through a position change and some upheaval on the roster that's impacted him directly. But as he said, look, you know, I could have complained about it and maybe not gone out there and tried to play center field to the best of his abilities. But if he didn't go out and earn that playing time in center, he wouldn't have had a chance to do what he did the other night. So that's how he looks at it. He wants the opportunity to be on the field for moments like that, and that includes the postseason. So he's doing everything he can to be the best center fielder he can. And as of today, well, he's going to be the starting center fielder for the postseason. It's not a competition anymore. Now, it may yet be. We got a little more than a week to go, but you know, I think the Indians would feel real comfortable with him and then have Greg Allen waiting in the wings to be a defensive replacement late in the game if necessary.
Going to be interesting what that postseason roster looks like, and one of those guys who has certainly quieted a lot of his critics, and boy, did he have a ton in August, that would be Cody Allen. Well, Rosie, 9 straight appearances now for him without surrendering a run. Safe to say that he's kind of taken to this combo role pretty effectively?
I think so, and so is Miller, so is Hand. But, you know, for him it was a matter of just finding out what was missing in his delivery, and it was just a small thing, apparently. You know, the way he set his hands and got them going when his delivery began, and he and Carl Willis found it with some help from, you know, some of the guys who, you know, there's several guys up in that front office who, you know, they're not scouts. You don't hear about them ever, but, I mean, they're searching for stuff all the time. And as he was struggling, they're pouring through video and looking at spin rates and the shape of pitches and things like that, and then why they're doing certain things. And for Cody, his pitches weren't doing what they were supposed to do. He wasn't getting the break. He wasn't keeping the ball down. And they traced it back to certain points in his delivery, and he was able to work on that and get back. So the key now is just keeping it over the last week plus of the season.
Well, one guy that's caused us at least a little bit of concern at the plate, and a guy we have to bring up, that would be Jose Ramirez. Boy, he had some nice at-bats last night, Rosie, but in the end he went 0-for. His numbers have really taken a dive this month. You think that's because he's seeing fewer pitches to hit, or do you think there is any other particular reason why he's struggled so much in September?
Well, I think that's part of it, and that he is surely getting pitched differently. But it is interesting because, you know, he came up last night as the winning run at the plate, in the 11th. And I think 2 months ago you would have thought, here comes a home run or a double or something good's going to happen. But, you know, sometimes you get a feel when a guy's at the plate and you're just like, man, he's really been struggling. I don't know. And it was just another in a long line of at-bats where not much happened. And, you know, I think they are pitching him differently. And it's been happening long enough where maybe he expanded his strike zone a little bit because they aren't giving him much to hit and got into some bad habits. So now he's trying to work through that and get back. And, you know, he's got a week to 10 days. You'd love for him to have some success before the end of the season, because then you have a four-day break before game one, before you see live pitching again. And, he's not that same threat in that number three hole that he was earlier. Is he a good hitter? Yes. Is he going through a tough time? Yes. And is that tough time lasting a little bit longer than everyone would like? Sure. And I think they'll feel a lot better if he can have some success here this last week of the season.
Did you get the impression you saw some of that last night? Because when you had mentioned they're expanding the strike zone, Rosie, that's exactly what I was thinking when he came up to the plate late in the game last night when he was looking for a big hit. I mean, he chased a lot of pitches that really seemed to be way out of the zone. And, boy, you go back 2 or 3 months ago, he would have never chased after those pitches.
Yeah, I mean, more walks than strikeouts over the course of the season. That's his M.O., not chasing pitches. And I think there's a little bit of that. And you know, maybe you hear it. I mean, it might be the number one cliche on when a team's struggling offensively is, you know, trying to do too much. And he doesn't need to. You know, a base hit would have been fine there. And then I know the lineup was a little bit different by the end of the game because of substitutions. But, you know, you have a good hitter behind you, whoever it was at that point. I can't remember. I think they had pinch run for Edwin. But, maybe just trying to do a little bit too much.
Well, Rosie, of course, we are rapidly approaching the postseason. The Indians will get going in the postseason 2 weeks from today. This is the final home series of the season against the Red Sox tonight, tomorrow, and on Sunday before they hit the road again. Some really interesting decisions as far as the roster goes will have to be made by Terry Francona and company. Boy, I've written a bunch of names down, and I can't imagine how difficult this is going to be for Terry Francona. And again, you've got about a week or so left to figure all of this out. But does your gut tell you that they're going to take 8 relievers into that series that's more than likely going to be against Houston? Or do you think he may sacrifice one of those for an extra position player?
I think you hate to pin it on one guy. But I think a lot will depend on where Trevor Bauer is at the end of next Sunday. And, you know, is he in the starting rotation? And what does that mean for the rotation? If he can start, my guess is they go with 4 starters: Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer, Clevinger. I think Bieber makes the team in long relief. The rest falls in line from there. And then, you know, how many relievers do you keep? Because if you keep Bieber, that gives you some protection for some long relief. And then, of course, Miller, Allen, Hand. I know I'm forgetting somebody. Oliver Perez would be another shoe-in. And then the rest, you know, the rest of them are up in the air. I'm not exactly sure. You know, they may look at the matchups with the Astros and just see who fits better from that point forward. Is it Tyler Olson? Is it Simber? I think Simber might have an upper hand to get in there. You know, is Neil Ramirez in the mix? Is Dan Otero in the mix? We'll see. And then that could predicate what they do position player-wise. Do they keep both Yandy Diaz and Eric Gonzalez? And do they keep Rajay Davis, Greg Allen, and Brandon Guyer? How many outfielders are you keeping? It'll be interesting. A lot of tough decisions, and there'll be some really good players who are not on that roster for the ALDS.
Yeah, it will be very, very interesting indeed. Well, Rosie, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy this weekend series against the Red Sox.
You got it, Bull. Thanks.
Thank you again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, joining us. All of Rosie's appearances here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Let's get to a break. Matt and I will return after this on AM 930 WEOL.